Josh, there's a thing on NFL.com where you were wired up in the last game, which is, I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, but it's terrific, actually.
I don't know what parts were terrific.
Well, I mean, in terms of a fan watching it, it was actually, I mean, kind of get were you conscious of that at all?
No.
During the game?
I mean, I knew I had the wire on because I think by league rule you have to allow them to do that. So they requested to do that. So, I mean, it didn't affect me at all, I guess, is the big thing. At least I don't think it did.
It showed you being tough at times.
Yeah.
What do you mean tough? Like yelling? I don't want my kids to see this, then? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they bleep those parts.
Okay, good.
And no one gets to bleep.
Good.
But there's some good parts in there.
All right, well, I mean, it's part of the game, you know, and you never want to take anything personally on game day. I know that, whether you're a coach or a player, and some of the things that you say are not said, you know, in a personal way. It's just trying to get the point across, and sometimes the emotion and intensity of the game, I'm sure, create that at a higher level. So,
speaking of which, officiating, I mean, you can prepare all you want, but, I mean, if they're calling them tight, it's hard to get in a rhythm, it seems like. We've had Walt twice, and
yeah,
specific about him, but there's a lot of penalties.
Yeah, that, I mean, I know this. We were guilty of, you know, penalties in the game. You know, so that's part of the game. It's part of the game we have to improve on. You know, we've had 26 so far in 4 weeks, and that's way too many to have on a regular basis. You're gonna have a hard time getting into a rhythm offensively. You're gonna have a hard time staying getting off the field defensively if you're constantly committing seven, eight penalties a game. So. We know this week, you know, they're historically and historically have been one of the least penalized teams in the league. They do a great job of, you know, making sure that they don't hurt themselves and don't beat themselves, and we're certainly not counting on them to do that this week.
On those penalties, you know, do you cut slack for certain types of penalties, like penalties of effort, so to speak? And have there been, you know, just kind of a boneheaded type penalty?
Well, I mean, any kind of false start or offsides penalty is just usually it's a lack of concentration or lack of focus on what you're supposed to be looking at or listening to. You know, but the other penalties, I mean, yeah, you can get some penalties where, you know, you're giving great effort, but there's a lot of penalties where you can say the guy's giving great effort, but he also made a poor choice, you know. Yeah, you're chasing the guy down on a punt return and he's past you. You know, yeah, you might be giving great effort trying to chase him down, but, you know, if you block him in the back, that's a bad decision. So, you know, we have to be smart. I think that's really the most important thing, knowing the rules, being smart about what you're doing and what you can't do, and then trying to eliminate that stuff from our game.
Are you going to practice outside today?
Of course.
Always.
We will always.
Even when it's blizzard?
I don't care. I mean, we're going to play. If we play in it, I hope we've, you know, practiced in it. That's kind of going to be our philosophy. If it's wet, damp, raining, snowing, whatever, we're going to be outside.
How do you weigh that? I mean, there's some kind of player safety issues, I'm sure, as far as you don't want your guys hurt, but how do you weigh that? The pros and cons?
I don't really weigh it. I mean, if we play in it, you know, to me, we got to get ready to play in it. I mean, you can't just tell the guys, hey, we're going to practice inside in a bubble all week long, and then when we go out there and play in the snow on Sunday, you know, just make sure you do all the things that you're supposed to do when the weather's bad. You know, stay on your feet, field the ball, throw it in the wet, you know, and all that stuff. So we've got to practice it. You got to be ready to handle it. And if Sunday's that way, then we got to play in it and hopefully play well.
Is there a certain type of skill that you need to play in bad weather?
I think you just have to understand what you can and can't do when the weather's poor. You know, I mean, you can't cut the same way. You may not be able to throw the same way. You know, fielding, it definitely affects the kicking game first. So ball handling, our kickers, our specialists, all of those things, doing those types of actions in poor weather, that's not something you can not simulate and then go out and perform well. You know, so... you know, for all the people that touch the ball, it's certainly, you know, footing is an issue, you know, and then passing, catching, kicking, fielding, all of those things are definitely an issue when the weather gets bad. And I think the only way you get good at doing it in the bad weather is practicing it.
Because looking ahead to the forecast, you know, as you prepare during the week, thinking that it could be horrible conditions, Sunday, they're dead wrong in 75 to Sunday.
Which could definitely happen here.
Of course, absolutely. Does that screw you up? You know, we didn't practice the right way for this year.
No, I think you practice, again, I mean, I don't think practicing outside is going to hurt anybody anyway, even if the weather's great. I mean, yeah, we're practicing out there, and it may affect us a little bit here or there, but I don't think it's going to deteriorate practice, you know, just because we're throwing in the rain today, you know, or snow or whatever it may be. But, you know, if there was some clear cut, you know, thing where we knew the weather was going to be beautiful on Sunday and we're out there trying to practice in 2 feet of snow, I don't think that'd be smart. But, you know, if the weather's got a chance to be poor on the weekend, I think we got to get ready for it.
Orton didn't wear the glove yesterday. Do you have a preference on that? Is that up to him?
I don't have a preference on it. If he feels good enough, you know, to play without it, then he'll play without it. If he feels like he wants to wear it, you know, because it's uncomfortable, then he'll wear it. You know, he might have put that on after you left yesterday. I don't know.
Josh, on the subject of penalties, last week Tom Brady, a couple hits and sustained drives
yep.
for the Patriots. Do you remind your players, okay, if you put your hands on the guy, don't get too many?
Well, we just want to be smart, know the rules. Yeah, the officials and Mike Prayer send out a tape each couple weeks to kind of highlight making sure that our coaches and our players are up to speed on, you know, the emphasis this year and some of the rules changes and all those things and any good examples that have come up throughout the league in the last few weeks. I think we got another one this week, you know, and we'll show that to our team on Saturday morning. But, you know, we just want them to understand what is a foul and what isn't a foul so that they can make the right judgment when they're put in that position themselves. You know, and if you're close to the quarterback, we understand what the rules are, and we got to make sure that we're smart and don't do anything to jeopardize our opportunity to get off the field. You know, I saw those two plays in the Baltimore game, and but that's how they're officiating them, you know, this year.
Josh, I apologize. I know you talked about this a little bit, but there's been a lot more attention on you and some of the younger coaches in the league that's doing something for scoring you. When you interviewed here, did you have to overcome the age issue? I mean, or was that something?
I didn't. Positive? I mean, I don't think I ever did. I mean, that's really for somebody else to, you know, to decide. I mean, I've been in positions where, you know, I've had a lot of responsibility before. I was before I got here, and I'm, you know, doing something very similar here. And, you know, that's always for somebody else's judgment. If they can't get past, you know, the fact that you can be a talented person or a hardworking person at a younger age, then that's somebody else's issue. But I know there's a lot of really good players that are really young. I know there's a lot of really good coaches that are really young, personnel people in this league that are really young. And I don't think really age is an indication of how how much you've experienced, the quality of the experiences you've had. And I think that's my biggest thing is if you've had great experience, whoever you are, you know, it doesn't really, your age shouldn't really make a difference. If you can be successful in that role, then, you know, that's all that matters.
Do you think there's a right age to be a first-time coach?
Nope. I really don't. I mean, if you can lead and you can communicate and you understand the game and how the National Football League works and, you know, and you can prepare your team and get them ready to play good football and win. I mean, who's to say what that age is? I certainly am not going to put an age restriction on that. I mean, somebody certainly could be much younger than I and be as ready to go as I am, or somebody else for that matter. I mean, I don't really think you know how ready you are either until you get the job.
Has it been an advantage or disadvantage dealing with players?
I don't think they really look at me like I'm X number of years old. I think it's all about your message and your ability to communicate things to them to try to help them get better. I learned a long time ago in this league that if you are telling them something that's going to help them win, help the team win, help them play better than what they've played before, that every one of them in that room will listen to you, and that's the important thing, not how old is the guy telling me whatever the heck he's telling me. You know, I don't think they really care about that. I think the message is the most important thing.
I don't think Mike would be playing that music out there, you know?
Mike.
Some of the selection.
Well, I mean, some of those songs I don't know, you know, some of them I do know, and they don't like, so, you know, that's a whole different, you know, a whole different deal. I think some of that is for players enjoy some of that stuff and kind of, you know, get them ready to go for practice, and during the course of the practice, obviously, we keep it playing. You got to
talk about the message. You seem very focused, structured, particular, like most coaches are. Mm-hmm. It seems like when I talk to the players, they seem to be having a lot of fun. I'm wondering, you know, some guys telling me they're having more fun than they had, you know, the previous couple of years. What is it about your message that translates into fun on the field?
I think when you I think when you have a message that's clear to understand and it works, and then they have success with the message and with the things we're trying to do, I think that becomes fun. You know, winning obviously is fun. Being confident in what you're doing is always more fun than not having confidence in what you're doing. And then I think that, you know, we work so hard, and there's so much of the time where it's serious and intense, and you know, and everything is so very, very important and detailed and meticulous, and you know, we try to demand as you know, as much perfection out there as we can get, that sometimes you've got to try to do things that, you know, you can bring, you know, a lighthearted moment or two here or there, and we try to keep that in mind with them. I mean, we're all here to try to win. We know that. We're all here working hard, but also it's not a sin to have fun either. So I think what our team does on game day, how they play, how they enjoy each other, how the coaches enjoy them, I think it's just a good group, and we get along really well and have a lot of fun doing what we're doing.
It's situational football, a catchphrase.
It is. I mean, I think the players use it now more than I do, which is great, because that means that they're listening, they're alert. You know, I think most games in the National Football League come down to how you play when there's a big situation that comes up, whatever point in time it is. It's 2 minutes in the second quarter, red zone possession in the fourth quarter last week on the goal line. Big third down play, third and one. You know, we got stopped last week, and we stopped them on fourth down at the two. So there's a lot of big situations, and you can play, 59 minutes of good football or 59 minutes of football, and then ultimately it doesn't really make any difference. The game's going to come down to what you do in that situation at the end of the game, and our players now understand how critical that is. I mean, you can do a lot of good things, you can do some not good things, but ultimately if you win the situations, you know, you got a great chance to win the game.
Thank you, Coach.
You got it. Thanks.